Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. Well, we are really excited that you are joining us here on this part one of the June podcast. And this last Saturday, we had the most awesome time. We had a small group of people gathered for our very first kind of casting vision night, a vision and dessert, because we had fun little yummy snacks to eat. And we just really enjoyed sharing what God's been sharing with us and just giving the vision of the house of prayer here in Omaha. So I know personally I'm a little exhausted today as we're recording this. Yeah. We had a very busy Sunday, so there was no like rest and downtime. But it was just wonderful to gather. And I feel personally it just stirs my heart even more for what the Lord has called us to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, I think for me, it was just interesting to see so many different people. I mean, because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Half? Mm-hmm. I would say half. And just how many had not heard about House of Prayer. And so it was really fun. It's always fun to launch a vision with people who honestly don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Agree. So. Agree.
Yeah.
And so many different churches represented.
Yeah, there was.
In our small, we had about 50 that gathered with us. And it was really eclectic of the city church, so that was a really a fun night.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. There was a lot of people. Same thing with was you, Nicole. It's just cool to see a lot of people I didn't know, and got to meet a lot of new people and new faces and people who have been intercessors for years who are excited about prayer.
Yeah.
And excited about worship. So
true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, because I do think so many of us have been, we just love prayer. So you carry the value of prayer inside of your heart. And then to gather with a bunch of people who all have that same value, it's they can understand because they get the value of prayer and what a treasure it is before the Lord. So
true.
So that was a great night to just even begin to sow into us financially as a house and casting vision. And we'll be doing some more events as this year unfolds for us. So we're really excited about some of those things. So stay tuned because we'll be sharing those as well on the podcast.
Fun.
They will be fun.
Yes.
Yay.
So Drew, quickly, give us an update on the garden.
Oh yes, the garden. You know, it is doing wonderful. It's getting very full.
You forgot to take pictures from seed.
Oh, I have some pictures on my phone.
Those will have to go. They'll have to go on Facebook.
Yeah, it's getting very full. Yesterday I went to the farmer's market and I grabbed some rosemary and a cucumber plant.
Ooh.
It's hard to resist every time I see another garden store and like, oh, I wonder if they have a plant that I don't have.
You just got like 12 and, more.
Well, they had a big sale last week. In all the places are having clearance sale and now it's even harder to resist.
And Drew's like, oh, my garden must grow.
So, you know.
I have all this railing space.
And then I saw, you know, the hanging space. I haven't even tapped into that yet. So
they'll be like the gardens of Babylon.
It really will. But they're doing well. I'm getting 5 tomatoes that are coming along.
Nice.
And I've used some of the herbs. I've already had a bunch of salads with the lettuce and Swiss chard that I've grown.
Oh, I'm impressed.
So they're coming along. So stay tuned for even more. I got some strawberries and tomatoes and peppers coming up.
Did
now,
that
so.
Pineapple strawberry one come up yet?
They're starting to have some little fruits that are coming up. So
what is that? Like a...
Well, it's called a hula berry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. A strawberry tastes like a pineapple.
I love pineapple.
We'll get in a smoothie.
And I just have to say, the fruit has been so delicious in the grocery store. Oh, my goodness. I keep spending money on raspberries and blackberries and strawberries and pineapple and cantaloupe.
No need.
Oh, my goodness.
If you just
no
come
need.
To my house.
we just gotta dig them right up, or whatever you do with them. Obviously, I obviously I don't garden.
We don't grow underground.
So they're doing well. Yes, I'll put an update on the Facebook page probably. Yes. At least I'll put one on my Facebook page.
There you go.
For all you podcast listeners.
Yes. But anyway, this month we are talking about, you know, as we're talking about all this food that I'm growing, this month we're talking about prayer and fasting.
Yes.
And so we're just going to share a little bit more about why, as the body of Christ, we're called to fast and some of the rewards of fasting. I know, obviously, we're not talking about just the rewards of you being hungry. We're talking about actual, tangible rewards of fasting that we receive from the Lord when we engage in that reality of prayer and fasting. So stay tuned with us as we talk about prayer and fasting this month.
So we are back this as we talk about today this place of prayer and fasting. And one of the things that we know of fasting is that this is supposed to be, this is normal Christianity. Those who fast as we walk with the Lord, it's not to be this place of the radicals that do it.
Mm-hmm.
For hundreds of years, the Christian community fasted not only one day a week, mm-hmm. but 2 days a week. And that's part of just being in that normal, that place of normal Christianity. Lou Engle, I have a quote of his. He's like the king of fasting. If you have never listened to anything that he's ever, or any of his podcasts or teachings or readings, I'm reading his book called The Jesus Fast right now.
He's
and
always
I am,
on a fast.
He's always on a fast. Yes. And literally, I'm reading the book, and I've shared this with Drew and Nicole, and I am reading the book thinking, I don't even think I'm a Christian. he lives such mm-hmm. a radical lifestyle. Not yeah. only 2 days a week does he fast.
Yeah.
He often goes on 40-day fasts. And 21-day fast. So, anyway, here's one of his quotes. Fasting is a form of war. It is a spiritual mechanism, not only for personal renewal, but to seize ground in the Spirit and to manifest the triumph of Christ. And I love that quote because I feel like it is a form of war,
mm-hmm.
As we who fast know how hard it is
yeah.
because the flesh
dies.
Yeah. The flesh dies, but as it's dying, it's crying out.
It freaks out on you.
So those of you who are joining us who have lived this fasted lifestyle, you're either right now annoyed with us or you're in agreement with what we struggle with. And I do appreciate, even with Lou Engle and Mike Bickle and those who would be for us the spiritual giants, they talk about that every time they fast, it's hard. Like it
yeah.
never gets
yeah.
easier. It is
yeah.
it is a war. It's that spiritual violence against the flesh. So we're in good company. We've been encouraged. So what we're going to do this first podcast in June is we're going to talk about the seven kinds of fasting that are in the Bible, and. You know, I've been really encouraged throughout history. We have just countless examples of men and women that we can read about in the Bible that have lived this fasted lifestyle. Jesus's disciples lived a fasted lifestyle. John, John the Baptist, his disciples. And then all throughout history, you read about great revivalists, and they all lived with a place of prayer connected to fasting. So I want to just share we're going to just start talking about seven types of fasts that the Bible talks about. And here's a quote I just ran across, which is really convicting. John Wesley, famous quote, he says this: "The man that never fasts is no more on the way to heaven than the man who never prays."
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So quite convicting. I hope you're joining in that conviction right now. So as we look at the seven scriptural reasons for fasting, and then we'll just kind of talk about it, you guys. The number one is fasting. It's the fast for the power of God in our own personal ministry, our own personal life. And it's really fasting for God to break through, breaking in of God's presence, breaking in a revival, breaking in of his authority, of anointing, of healing, really seeking God's power in that place of really knowing him in intimacy and prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, and then you guys, I'll kind of share a couple, and then we can, if you want, we'll just kind of talk about whatever is jumping out at you. The second scriptural reason for fasting, it's fasting for revelation on the end times, mm-hmm. for the end of the age. And part of that is we want to fast that we would know, that we would be prepared, and also that we, because we're hearing, we would be able to prepare others for the end of the age. Mm-hmm. A third scriptural reason for fasting is fasting for the release of God's promises to a city and a nation. God's promises, they're not guarantees, but there are these invitations. It's asking God, I see the purpose of God for my generation, and now I'm going to connect with the Lord in the place of prayer and fasting. In that invitation, I want God's promises over my city. I want God's promises to be released over my nation. And then the fourth one, and then we'll stop here and have some discussion. It's fasting to stop a crisis, individual or a national crisis. And we really, one of the things that Mike Bickle says, that where there's no human remedy, we need to call on God. There's that place of calling for a corporate fast and that place of prayer together corporately. When there is something, there's such a crisis that comes to the nation or a crisis that comes to the city, that only God, you know, it's that but God breaking in, mm-hmm. nothing is going to change. So out of those four, I don't know if you've had experience personally with any of those, what you've seen in the different areas that we've been ministering in throughout the years.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, fasting was not something I ever wanted or dreamed. You know, no one, like, grows up thinking, like, oh, I'm going to be a magnificent faster or something.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, it's my big goal in life.
That's not the dream or goal in life, but... So when I was introduced to it as an adult, because, I mean, I was raised in the church and never heard about fasting. I mean, mm-hmm. a couple of people did it, and you would maybe hear, or maybe uh-huh. there was maybe one corporate fast that the church was called to maybe once when I was growing up. But I heard, was really exposed to it as an adult, and I thought, this sounds so stupid.
what good could this, you know, what could come from this?
Me not eating and feeling, having a headache all day because I'm not drinking soda that I'm used to, and I am feeling so exhausted, I get home at 6:30 and go to bed mm-hmm. just so I don't have the temptation to eat. Mm-hmm. Seems mm-hmm. really, you know, not very effective way to run the kingdom. when all your workers are tired and cranky. But I thought, okay, you know, but what got me is that Jesus says in Matthew 7, mm-hmm. when he talks about fasting, he says, when you fast in secret and mm-hmm. don't do what the hypocrites do, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't say if you fast. Mm-hmm. He says when. And so I was really taken aback by that and thought, if the Lord says when you fast, he means that he's expecting that mm-hmm. we actually do it. Mm-hmm. Not that, like, some of us do it and some of us
right.
don't.
That's
and even
good.
Some of the ways that Mike has laid out and that you read for mm-hmm. us on fasting, the different reasons why we do it, mm-hmm. there's those that we fast to gain more power in our ministry mm-hmm. and more understanding, or we fast to corporately to prevent a crisis. Mm-hmm. But it seems, you know, throughout Scripture as we look, the way that the Lord is requiring his people to respond mm-hmm. in any season, whether it's time of prosperity and we're just asking for more of the prosperity mm-hmm. to continue, mm-hmm. or it's a time of impending judgment or crisis and we need the Lord's breakthrough, or there's not going to be a people mm-hmm. you know, anymore like there was in the time of Esther. Mm-hmm. In any circumstance, the Lord looks at us and says, mm-hmm. well, pray and fast. Mm-hmm. And that is mm-hmm. that's always the answer. And it's not the answer that I would choose. Mm-hmm. But it's the answer that the Lord chooses, and so the answer that it's mm-hmm. the response that we have to engage in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for us, even just when you were talking about number four, I'm just like, that's us right now. Mm-hmm. Just as a house of prayer, but also as a nation mm-hmm. of just even, you know, over the last weekend, it's just the reality that we are in a season of spiritual crisis.
Yeah.
I believe in our, in our city and in our nation. And just the reality of God's, like you were saying, Drew, God wants us to be weak.
Yeah,
and we've talked about this before, and that is not something I enjoy at all. It's even past the being hungry part. It's the weakness, but that's what the Lord's looking for, because when we are weak, we allow him. I shouldn't speak for everyone, but for myself, I allow the Lord to be strong. It's not even like, it's like only when you're weak is he strong. He's always strong. He's always mighty. He's always perfect. It's in my weakness I actually realize, oh, I really have nothing and really need him. And so I think that it is interesting that that is how he chooses. Like number four, when we're talking about to stop a crisis, you know, in an individual life or national, he sets it up where he wants us to choose weakness and coming to him because he has the solution. It's when we turn off our own thoughts where we can have it all together that he'll step in and really show us what he's doing. So for me, and I've read through all these, for me that is, that always sticks out to me the biggest.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too that the place of weakness throughout scripture, we see that God is attracted to weakness. So the more that we can remain in that place of weakness, it attracts his presence even more and more. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, we're going to take a break, and in just a minute, you'll hear from Nicole. She's going to share a tool that you can use in the prayer room, and then we're going to come back, and we'll finish the last three of these seven biblical reasons for fasting.
Type of thing that Mike Bickle has created, and it's called ARK, A-R-K. And so basically kind of the premises of it is in Revelation chapters 1 through 3, we see 30 different descriptions of who Jesus is. There is no place in Scripture where Jesus is revealed with more depth and diversity than in these three chapters. Here, Jesus reveals himself, which I think is key. He reveals himself in the way that he appeared and in the names that he used. By meditating on these 30 descriptions, we can grow in intimacy with him. And I think that that is one reason why I love this short acronym, because it's short and it's pretty precise and it's just pulling out what the Lord has said about himself, and it's speaking that back to him. So we just use these three letters, A-R-K, to pray through these 30 descriptions. Kind of an explanation further, the Ark was placed where the presence of the Lord dwelt in the Old Testament. It also spoke of a place of safety, such as Noah's Ark. Noah and his family were kept safe during the flood. By encountering Jesus in these 30 descriptions, we can experience the Ark of his presence as well as the Ark of his safety. So I'm going to go through the three letters and what they mean and how we can kind of pray through those. So the first is agreement. So we just come and agree with what the descriptions say about Jesus. So simply agreeing with each specific aspect of Jesus' personhood has a dynamic impact on our heart. The angels around God's throne declare who Jesus is night and day by saying, "You are worthy, you are holy." They just speak that back to him day in and day out. And they speak of who God is with affection and thanksgiving. Like the angels, we can declare our agreement concerning the beauty and the splendor of Christ. So as we go through those first three chapters, there's 21 in just the first chapter. He's Christ. He's Savior. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the faithful witness. And it just goes on and on and on. The R in the acronym means revelation. So here we just ask God to reveal, to give us fresh revelation of who Jesus is in these 30 descriptions. And this is where I really want to encourage you to pull out your journal and make sure as you're just asking the Lord to reveal himself in a new way, in a deeper way, in a more intimate way to you, that you write this down, because this is truth that God is speaking directly to you about who Jesus is in your life and that you can share with others and bring greater revelation. And so then the K, we get that from keep the prophecy. So kind of what that means is in Revelation 22:7, it says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So keeping the prophecy refers to acting on Jesus' commands and plans that are written in the book of Revelation. We are to apply them to our life by responding in faith and obedience to the specific truths about his name in our actions, our attitudes, and by asking for Holy Spirit to help us in that faithfulness. Okay, so kind of a three parts to this, obey, say, and pray. So by obeying the commands of Jesus, as we persevere in walking in love and holiness, we respond in faith to these 30 truths about Jesus that we see in Revelation chapters 1 through 3. So just obeying what he says about himself. And then number 2, by saying the message of Jesus as we proclaim the main truths set forth in the prophecy in the book of Revelation. And then the third thing, by praying for the power of Jesus to release revival among the saints in the church. So that's kind of the three aspects of keeping the prophecy of what Jesus says about himself in the book of Revelation, specifically the attributes, the characteristics, what he claims to be true about himself in those first three chapters. So we just make simple declarations of our resolve to obey the implications of the 30 truths. Then we ask Holy Spirit to empower us to follow through. Kind of an example, let's just say an example of a prayer, a declaration that we want to speak out of these truths that he says about himself. I commit to being a faithful witness to the truth, regardless of what it costs me. Holy Spirit, help me to do this. So as Jesus calls himself the faithful witness, we stand and declare that we will be a faithful witness for him. So that's just the another tool to use in your own personal life. If you join us in the prayer room, ARK, I will have a template up on the Facebook page and the website, so you can go and just read more about this prayer room tool.
All right, so I'm going to go on with the 5th, 6th, and 7th biblical reasons why we fast. I'm going to do a quick review of the first four. We fast for the power of God to just break in our own personal lives, personal ministry. That's the first one. The second one is fasting for revelation on the end times. The third one is that we fast for the release of God's promise over our city, over our nation, over our own lives. And the fourth one is fasting to stop a crisis, either an individual crisis for your ministry or a national crisis. And now number 5 is fasting for protection. And one of the biblical characters, he's true, that we see that did this was Ezra. As he was going on the journey, he was leaving Babylon and going back to Jerusalem, which was a 700-mile journey. And he fasts and prays because the journey that he's on is very dangerous, and there were thieves along the road, and there was just a great risk. So this divine protection is something that he fasted for. And really, as we, this desire for fasting and praying for protection will increase more and more as we near the end of this age. And I think even in my own life, that has been even my prayer, like praying for protection of children in schools. Just what we see around the nation in this last weekend, the horrific deadly shooting in Orlando, it startles us, and it really alerts the watchmen to be standing and praying in that place of asking God for his divine protection. And really, it kind of connects with that number four also, where there's no human remedy. We need to call a corporate fasting and praying that God would break in our city and in our nation. Number six is praying for direction. This is another type of fasting that we see in the Bible, and this could be praying for personal direction in your own life or for your family, direction for your ministry, direction maybe even in your assignment if you're in the marketplace. So this is biblical. It's what God calls us to. So we can pray for that the Lord would just break in and give us direction in our own lives. And then number seven, and then we'll talk about these three, and we're going to spend a lot more time on this in the next podcast for this month, but this is fasting for internal rewards. This is they're not fasting for something externally, looking for our circumstances to change or God to break in, to be manifest in the physical realm. But this is where our hearts grow in intimacy. It's fasting for the place of Jesus breaking in our spirit. So we'll be looking at that one in greater detail in the next podcast. But I don't know if you guys have anything that you've experienced either in, you know, 5, 6, or 7 or want to refer back to one of the ones that we had talked about earlier.
I think for me, the one that, of all seven, the one that primarily characterizes my lifestyle of fasting would be number seven, mm-hmm. of asking the Lord to just tenderize my heart, mm-hmm. to make me more open to him. And sometimes we call that the bridegroom fast, because we see that when Jesus talks about fasting in Matthew 9, I think.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep, Matthew 9.
That he talks about himself as being the bridegroom, and that when the bridegroom is taken away from them, as he is now, he's not with us present on the earth, then they will fast and they'll mourn. Mm. And so one of the things that I think that I heard from a leader, and I really appreciated it, is, you know, don't measure the internal rewards when you're fasting.
Yes.
Especially during the first, you know, wait decades before you measure, mm-hmm. any of this stuff. And mm-hmm. so me coming into fasting as an adult, I've only been fasting for maybe, you know, 5 mm-hmm. years, and really only more consistently for a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And although I wouldn't say that I don't like to measure it a lot, I can even say from those few years, mm-hmm. that there's a difference, because I'm asking the Lord to make me more alive to him, make my heart come alive and want to love you more. And some days it doesn't really feel like it works at all. In fact, the day when I'm fasting, it really feels like it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
But if you wait months and years and decades later, then there is an aspect where your heart has changed, mm-hmm. because there's that place where the Lord slowly tenderizes, mm-hmm. your heart, and you don't always notice it when he's doing it. It just feels miserable.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But the decades later, as you measure, mm-hmm. it, you'll see that as there's a characterizing pattern of your life, mm-hmm. as staying engaged with the Lord instead of kind of drifting away slowly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's really good, and I think just even as we talk about prayer and fasting and what that looks like, in this culture in which we live, where we want that immediate, mm-hmm. gratification, immediate reward, you know, mm-hmm. you know, instant diet, instant this, instant that, mm-hmm. that to just have the understanding that in the place of fasting and even in the place of prayer, mm-hmm. that we don't see, and it's the measuring over years at a time. That, yes, God, he gives us, you know, he's so kind, so he gives us these little nuggets of beauty and, mm-hmm. you know, like, kind of like firecrackers in your heart. But most of all, it's hard and it's weak and it feels horrible and it doesn't feel like anything's happening. So I think it's encouraging just to hear that for those who have fasted for decades and decades and decades, that they release that, you know, they just say it takes a long time to, mm-hmm. really see, like, I don't even know the end result, but to see the rewards. And that brings encouragement to my spirit as well. So I think that's a real, we want you all too, as you listen, for the listeners to just know that, you know, if you decide to step into this, that don't think, oh, I'm going to pray and fast for one day, and then the next day, all of my circumstances are going to change.
No.
Because I was praying and fasting for direction.
Yeah. No. And I think that something that I, when I first heard about fasting and, you know, in my zeal of my late teens, I guess maybe probably more early 20s, I forgot about the whole prayer aspect, you know, and fasting is really pointless if you're not actually engaging with the Lord in prayer. So I think for me, the number six is really where I have found fasting to be a more common thing for my life, is really taking that time to ask the Lord for direction. And it's been the last 4 years has been a very common thing for me to find myself very frustrated and kind of at the end of my understanding, and just really feel like the Lord will prompt me to, okay, you know, it's time, fasting, it works, let's do it. And so, because I find myself less, which is kind of not always true, so it's hard to say this, but I find myself slightly less distracted because I'm not, okay, what am I going to eat? What do I need a plan for lunch? I need a plan for dinner. I need, you know, there's just so many different things. And we, and being out of the country for a while, I learned that food is a huge distraction in the American culture and how we view food. Mm-hmm. Our view of food is a distraction in itself, and it's a dependency. And so I think that this is where the Lord's really shown me clarity of direction, is when I just, instead of taking that time to prepare and to eat, you know, meals, I'm spending that time engaged with him in prayer. He does. He just releases a revelation that I wouldn't have got before because I was too busy to pay attention. Because that happens a lot.
Yes. Well, and I like what you said, too, because on the days where we fast, I feel like I get so much more done because I'm not thinking about, okay, what am I gonna make for lunch? What am I going to, you know, what am I going to have for breakfast? When I, I mean, it, you know, oh, do I want to grab a snack for when I'm in the prayer room? So there is that, just, there's just more time. And we are a culture. I mean, you know, with our life, everything Greg and I do, we call people, hey, do you guys want to get together? And we're always, where should we meet? To eat, because we're all, you know, you, our culture is very, which is a good thing, but it's always centered around the table. And whether it's at a restaurant table, more than likely with our house, or if it's your own table at home. So really, this causes such a weakness in our heart when we are pulling ourselves out, because we're really pulling ourselves out of the culture when we choose that place of fasting. So
that's true.
Any other thoughts that you had on that, on any of that, Drew?
No, I definitely agree that I've done engaged in the fasting for direction many times. And I think one thing to note, though, I mean, we talk a lot about how the internal rewards take decades before you measure them. But as we see through Scripture, you know, they really measured them for some of these external rewards. They measured them right away. They knew whether or not the Lord had heard their prayer, because either the people are going to be wiped out or not. And so I think with some of these external ones, you can ask the Lord with faith and believe that he really will answer quickly. Whereas with the internal rewards, you wait a long time to measure.
I think even for me, and just being, because I'm in a different season of life than you guys, like I would say I've done a lot of the fasting for internal rewards, but not necessarily for myself. Like, I want the Lord to break in my kids' lives, that they would have such a deeper understanding of who he is and a walk with him, that almost every time I fast, I'm not only praying personally, I'm praying that their hearts would be softened, their hearts would be tenderized, that they would have a deeper understanding of who Jesus is to them, and that they would know him better. And I don't know, that's just like being, you know, that's who I am as a mom. But I love the, and I'm excited for us to talk about this on the next podcast. Just looking at, we'll look at the rewards of fasting, and specifically when we are fasting and praying for the internal, for God to move on our hearts, for His breath to be so strong in us that it causes us to hunger and, you know, hunger and thirst for righteousness, mm-hmm. that there are amazing rewards if we continue to just live in this lifestyle. One of the quotes that I heard several years ago, and I just loved it, is that God, he feeds those who are hungry. He doesn't just always feed the casual nibblers. And I think when we put ourselves in that place of weakness in fasting and praying, we are hungry. We are a hungry, desperate people. Mm-hmm. And the Lord feeds us deep riches from His word, from His presence. And, yeah. There are some great things that we receive from Him when we purposefully, voluntarily say, "Yes, Lord, I'm giving this up for the sake of You." So we'll talk about that more as we continue on next month, or on the second part of this month's podcast. So stay tuned, and I think we have a commercial break coming up.
As many Omahans know, we host the College World Series every year. But what many people do not know about the College World Series is that it also attracts a bit of a darker side, and that is the side of human trafficking. And human trafficking is where men, women, and children, mainly young women and children, are sold into sex slavery. And in order to deal with this injustice, the local body of believers in Omaha have gathered together. This will be the third annual College World Series prayer room that we host as part of the effort to end human trafficking through prayer. And so what we do is from June 18th to 27th, from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., every day there will be prayer and intercession and worship going forth from our city as many ministries and churches gather together to intercede corporately for the ending of this injustice. So join with us. You can also look for more information online at www.trafficprayerseries.com.
We hope that you gained valuable insights into fasting and prayer. Join us again towards the end of the month when we have part 2 of fasting and prayer.